has great concepts, great ideas on what's going on in the world. He keeps on top of all the trends and what's, newest to be happening. He also has incredible intuitive side to him, driven by, making a difference. And of course, he loves children and loves to help children in orphanages, loves to help save kids. And so I'd like to introduce our founder, Manitex founder and number one great visionary. And Sam, are you on? Sam Castor.
I am on. Thank you. I'm
Thanks.
speechless after that.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that good. Anyway, and we're just excited to have him here. Yes, we know that he was hanging out with Muhammad Yunus, and now he gets us back again. So I don't know.
Right.
But we can't wait to hear from you, Sam. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks. You know, that was an incredible trip for me to Mexico a week ago, because it was a symposium on social entrepreneurship, social enterprise, and its ability to address major issues that nations face in the world today. And who better to have as a keynote speaker than Muhammad Yunus, who really created the model. He didn't set out to do that. He set out to answer a problem. And, it was interesting just to hear the dialogue from this guy. First of all, he's very humble, but he just has great wisdom, just great common sense. They just looked at problems from a perspective that no one had looked at before. Like, there's a marketplace solution for every problem in the world. You have to just dedicate yourself to that. One of the things he said that was really interesting, he said, charity will never solve global problems, because you can only spend charity dollars one time. And he said the same thing with welfare systems. It's just a one-time use of the money versus a social enterprise that re-stimulates itself over and over and over again. So I said it made sense to me to find a market solution rather than a charity/government solution, because neither one of those were sustainable. And it's interesting, he said, I believe that all these people would choose to work themselves out of their hopelessness if they were just given a chance. And, of course, in Bangladesh, the big issue they were dealing with was poverty. And they have a whole class system over there of beggars. And they're just born into that class, and that's what they do. And as well as all the other people that were just impoverished. And he said, I will tell you this, we created the concept of the micro loan so that we could actually put people into business, but each one of these businesses, he said, we actually had to create the business too. And each business is around the direct sale model. He said, because that's how you put people to work. You give them goods or services that are lacking in the marketplace, or you can do in a new disruptive way. And then you create a microloan to put them into that business, he said. But without the business itself, the vehicle, we could have never impacted, our country or the world. So, I found that interesting. You have to have a vehicle. It's not just about giving people money to get in the business. It's about putting them into a business that is duplicatable and people can do. And it's a turnkey situation. So, Mary Jo, it kind of reminded me a long time ago when we heard about the turnkey system that McDonald's used. It's the same thing. He said,
mm-hmm.
We could not have solved the problem without a turnkey, model of putting people into business. The other thing he said that was real interesting is that there was no word for bank in their vocabulary in Bangladesh. He said the closest thing to it was fraud. Just kind of interesting. He said, there were money lenders. That's sort of the mechanism that people got money in Bangladesh, through money lenders. He said, but money lenders put people into bondage, and so they became slaves to the lender. And he said they legitimately became slaves to the lenders because they charged high interest rates that could never be put back. They didn't create an economic model for them, so it just put people into bondage. And he said that's essentially what was going on in Bangladesh. So he said we created the Grameen. He said Bangladesh is not big cities. It's a country of villages, over 80,000 villages. And so Grameen Bank, Grameen is the word for village in their language, and so Grameen Bank was the village bank. And he said, but, you know, the banking industry we found was so self-serving that even the people that somehow found a way to get into the banking system fell under a different type of bondage, because it wasn't there to solve a problem. It was there to be self-serving. So he said, we still needed a lending instrument. That's the thing. So we used the word bank, but we just reinvented the meaning of it and gave it a completely different, definition and really a facelift from what sort of money lenders and the banking institution had become known as, which is kind of a system of fraudulent activity. And so he said, when we were developing policies for the bank, every time we needed a policy, we would just go look at the banking industry and do exactly the opposite. And he said, because everything they did benefited not the person that they were trying to serve. They never were serving people. They were always trying to take advantage. So he said, we just did the opposite on everything. And he said, so we took an industry that was existing out there, and we just completely remodeled it. We took from it what was good, which is the capacity of an economic shift for individuals, but we got rid of everything that was bad. And, as we're talking about going through this shift in from sort of the direct sale or network marketing industry into the social entrepreneur industry, some people say, well, what does that mean? Why are you making a shift like that? And I that was just such great perspective, because I believe when we started this company, we never did feel a part of that industry. I mean, that industry has been a business-driven industry, I think, since its inception. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that when the opportunity is not supported by product technologies that were good enough to hold a customer base, it started getting manipulated. And once it gets manipulated, then all of a sudden it becomes a get-rich-quick scheme. And then when it becomes a get-rich-quick scheme, people are promoted. They're encouraged to build dreams. They're encouraged to go out and spend. They're encouraged to do a lot of things that ultimately end up in disaster. And so, we want to take from that industry what is good, which is the ability to economically empower people with disruptive technologies that create a legitimate consumer base, but move it over into this new industry of social entrepreneurship. Because our goal is to serve the needs of people all over the world and address the biggest problem that exists in the world today, which is poor nutrition. And it's a problem in our country. It's a problem in Mexico. It's a problem in developing nations of the world. And it's a major problem with children who have absolutely no access to this kind of technology unless a company like us was willing to build a business strategy that included them in the equation. And so we're a little bit different model than a lot of the social entrepreneur organizations out there, because it's not about just providing a financial opportunity for people. It's about solving a global problem, through our business model. And it was real interesting to just listen to the dialogue of Muhammad Yunus towards the end, after he'd, gone through, describing what he'd gone through, what he'd done, what he saw, how he addressed the issues. They opened it up for questions and answers. And one of the questions that I found fascinating is the person said, so because of all the good you're doing in the country, do you go to the government and ask them for special dispensation tax benefits or whatever because of the work that you do? Do they cooperate? And he said, no. Not at all. He said, my advice to you, if you're thinking about social entrepreneurship, is stay as far away from governments as you possibly can. He said, because, number one, you're a threat to their model. You're empowering people, not making them dependent. He said, the second thing is, for the most part, they are influenced by the businesses that profit from status quo. And so he said, you're a direct threat to those businesses, and which means you become an enemy of the state. So he said, stay away from government because there's nothing good that comes from government collaboration at all. I found that fascinating because there's always this thinking that somehow the government is going to join with you because you share a common cause. And his point was, no, you don't. Don't even think that. You're not sharing a common cause. Now, he did go on to say, though, but you know what? Some of the biggest problems that face us in the world today are economic problems. And he said, you know, we have become welfare states in so many countries that it's like the charity business, the welfare business. You can't spend those dollars but one time. So there's nothing sustainable, nothing that recharges the mechanism for funding. And he said, so in some cases, even governments are starting to look at social enterprise. He said, I just came from Sweden. Sweden would like to completely replace their entitlement system, welfare, if you will, with a social entrepreneur model so that they can recharge the engines over and over and over. You know, they don't know what it's going to look like. They just know that what they're doing doesn't work, won't work, and will bankrupt their company, their country. So he said, you know, we've got to find the solutions in the marketplace for these global problems. So anyway, that was all fascinating to me. I loved every bit of it. What great perspective. And then I had a chance to sit down with Mohamed Yunus and President Fox, because Fox kind of put us both together, and he said, you know, this is a gentleman from the United States who's developed a technology to really address global malnutrition. And one of the things that I found interesting about the social entrepreneur model, as it was defined and utilized throughout the world, it's all regionalized. In other words, every region, the models are basically and almost specifically regionalized. And so if they want to create microloans in another country, they have to start another company, create the same model, do the whole thing again, create a new business, do the whole thing. And as I was sitting explaining to Mohamed Yunus, he said, how are you going to get to 5 million children? What is your model for doing that? And so I explained it to him. I said, we have brought, you know, this marketing and compensation program from the direct sale industry into social entrepreneurship, sort of what you did, only we're leveraging our revenue sharing program that we had in our old program. And that way it allows us to link, you know, people who want to support our mission worldwide with consumers worldwide. So there is no geographic boundary to what we can possibly do. And he said, you know what? I knew that somebody was going to figure that out. He said, that is fascinating to me, because one of the things that we have not done very well in this industry is found a way to create a global footprint. He said, congratulations for doing that. And I think it's probably the only way that you could possibly succeed at a mission as big as what you're trying to take on. So, I mean, you know, for Mohamed Yunus to say congratulations to me, I could hang that on the wall forever. I mean, that was just, you know, that was fascinating to me that we are so cutting edge with what we're doing that we're actually reinvigorating an industry that's just getting started. And so it's fascinating to see what we're doing. So guys, that's why we're transitioning. We're leaving the old behind and moving into a new venue that not only gives us a new identity, but allows us to function in a new way, to bring things that have been successful in other industries, like a revenue sharing plan, like a global distribution center, like an online way of actually purchasing product and bringing people, you know, into the business. But bringing with it all the new things that get incorporated from a social entrepreneur business model. I think that's why when I first read the article from Harvard Business Review, you know, in 2010, you know, can entrepreneurs change the world? You know, the first paragraph in that article, I've got it right here in front of me, as a matter of fact, says, We are witnessing a sea change in the way society's problems are solved, work is performed, and businesses grow. Collaborations between corporations and social entrepreneurs can create and expand markets on a scale not seen since the Industrial Revolution. Hey, that is huge, guys. These markets will reach everyone. They will offer new and remarkable products and services in sectors as diverse as education, transportation, finance, healthcare, and food. And then they said, you know, these are the markets to go after because here's where we need help. And they said, for instance, the healthcare market, $202 billion. Listen to this. They said, you know, these markets are much larger than often touted, and explosive ones are in developing nations. Consider the need for improved education and health care among urban middle classes in developing countries, or the demand for lower cost, more nutritional food products, affordable housing, even in wealthy countries like the United States. So that market for food is $3.6 trillion. And what they're saying is what we know. There is a market for nutritionally based food products worldwide, not just in developing nations, you know, but in industrialized nations like the United States because of the challenges that we now know that our food supply, you know, present. So this is just an amazing place to be at this time in history. And that's why we're making the transition in Branson from an old industry into a new industry. And some of this stuff will look alike. It's just like Muhammad Yunus said, you know, we still had a lending, you know, mechanism called the microloan. So we took from the banking industry what was pertinent, what was important, but we reinvented it to serve the needs of the people. Whether that's the financial needs of individuals who are looking for opportunity in the 21st century, whether it's the health needs of the world's most vulnerable children, you know, this new model can serve them all. And it's our goal to bring in all the good and discard all the bad. I mean, I love that idea. If you want to know what to do for a policy, look at what was bad over there and just do the opposite. You know, instead of focusing on recruiting and stuff, focus on numbers of children. That's why I love the wristband concept, you know, that we put together around M5M. You know, it's like Bo Short said. He spent 24 years in this industry teaching people to dodge the one question that nobody ever wanted to answer, which is, what is it? He said, in social entrepreneurship, you want people to ask, what is it? And that's when he goes, you ever heard of Tom's? Tom's Shoes. But I like that, Mary Jo. You ever heard of Tom's? Yeah. Every time they sell a pair of shoes, they give a pair away. I'm involved with the companies developed the best technology for meeting the needs of malnourished children around the world. And every time we sell a product, we save a child's life. And here's the crazy thing. They're willing to pay people like you and me for helping them do that. Now, you don't have to do what I do, but I want to get with you and show you how you can make a difference in a child's life. That is incredible. I mean, that is telling people right up front what you're there for, what you're talking about, and triggering every emotion that you want to trigger in order to have a meaningful conversation with that individual. And everything is truthful. Everything is authentic. There is nothing manipulative. There is nothing that we're hiding, you know, so that's why we're making the transition, Mary Jo, and I'm excited about it. I think after sitting down there with Muhammad Yunus and that group of people from industry and not-for-profit organizations, this is very exciting. And let me give you my experience. You were talking about, you know, at the health fair. When I was at this symposium, the last day they invited people from community, so they had students there from a school and college in Guadalajara that was teaching social enterprise. And we got introduced to this group of students, and they said, so tell us how yours works. We told them about M5M. We have the wristbands on, and we just showed it to them, and we said, so when we sell a product, you know, we compensate our people. And they said, so what model distribution? And so we told them a little bit about it, and they said, well, that sounds a little bit like the network marketing model. And we said, well, we took the distribution compensation and moved it into social entrepreneurship. But we showed them the wristband and we said, but here's what we focus on. We focus on impacting children. In each one of these thresholds, 50, 60, 200, and 600 is meaningful, you know, in our distribution model. And each time you cross one of those thresholds, your income will and can, you know, jump dramatically. You go from 15, which we associate with a soup mom in the communities in South Africa, the townships where these moms get together every day and cook a tub of soup and feed about 15 to 20 kids a day. They add Nutriverse to that, and there's 1,000 of those soup moms waiting for our product. 60 is like an average orphanage. 200 is a community feeding program. So each time your organization achieves a new threshold of activity, we compensate you more. These students just went ballistic. They were all going, can we find out more about this? This is such a neat project. I mean, what a clever thing to do. What a wonderful. I mean, I'm telling you guys, you can have a meaningful conversation, as Mary Jo just explained, with anybody about what we do. I like that that we are planting that flag, that it's an official transition. I love our speaker in Branson, Ben Carson. My gosh, what a great individual who speaks about personal responsibility and the need to take, you know, responsibility for the issues that face us as individuals, as communities, as a country, you know, and solve them and not continue to go down the road of sort of a welfare state that can't pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what a great speaker to help us transition into this new model, to give great perspective to who we are, what our organization is capable of doing for people, from their health, from their finances, from their purpose, from being a part of something bigger than themselves. So I don't know if you have any more questions or not, Mary Jo.
Well, I think maybe
what I saw in Mexico.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I thank you for sharing all that, because it just gives us greater insight. And I think from my perspective, you know, we've talked about social entrepreneurship for a number of years, and there's a lot of people out there that, okay, been there, done that, or whatever. And I just really, the transition today is so huge. I mean, it really took me, you know, I remember sitting in a meeting with you about 3 months ago, and I had just gotten back from a national convention of professional network marketers, and I was so overwhelmed by the fact that I had finally looked at myself as a professional again after being a lawyer and a professional for years, right? I never looked at my 15 years at Manatech as I was in another profession. I just kind of looked at it as a business model I was participating in, but more so that I was helping people with their health. I mean, that's really where my passion's always been. But so I just registered in my head that I become a professional network marketer, and then I sat in this meeting with you and the group, and it was like, they go, well, we're no longer in that industry. And I was like, what? You know, I mean, it was kind of eye-opening to me. But I remember that I didn't look at it as something superficial. I mean, at first, my first reaction is, well, of course we're in network marketing, but the more I looked at it, Sam, the more I really truly understand, as you keep putting it forth, and the company does, that we really aren't. I mean, it, you know, industries, you can take a model and you can grab little pieces of different things, but it takes you into your own adventure, your own model. It's like, you know, we're venturing out now, and we've formulated like almost our own model that no one else has. And that's what's, so exciting. And I think Bo Short, you know, expresses that excitement all the time. And I hope people on this call can grab onto it as well and understand it, because this is a genuine move that I believe will truly transform network marketing. I think network marketing is going to follow us. I think that they're going to start. Don't you see that, Sam? Who knows where that's going?
And again, the best perspective I got in Mexico is Mohammed Yunus saying, you know, we're a bank, but we don't have the perception of a bank.
Mm-hmm.
We took the lending model from the banking industry, of course we did, but we completely reinvented it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a social entrepreneur model, you know, called microloans.
Right.
And so it's the same thing. We are bringing what is great about this model, which is the ability to create a global footprint, you know, with
right.
with your mission and reward people all over the world for joining together in the same vision and mission. We couldn't do that without that.
Right.
And
right.
But that's a major departure from MLM 101, just like
right.
microloans was a major departure from banking industry 101.
Well, it was also a major departure from the money lenders 101, you know, which is,
exactly.
you know, when you talked about the, you know, what those people go through with money lenders. And as I was listening to you, of course, I think of what we've done to industry here in the United States. And I don't mean to be a naysayer, but I think that part of this free world capitalism has created a tremendous amount of greed, and we see it in every level. We see the disparity of income. In fact, I don't know, Sam, if you read the paper this morning, but the new statistic is 4 out of 5 adults in the United States suffer with poverty in their life at some level. And
wow.
I thought, 4 out of 5? We're in the United States of America, you know, and this is the new statistic. I mean, these are things that, you know, when you take when you have the government and you have the wealthy and you have this disparity of income that's just almost as profound, we're getting close to be as profound as less developed nations.
Right.
There's really a demand out there for a mechanism like what we have with our new social entrepreneurship as well to help people really create a change in their own world as well. I mean, take on this huge, beautiful, charitable endeavor, which is no one can ever look and say, I'm not interested in helping children. But the idea is that we can help totally change people's lives as well. So transforming your own world is a big piece of that puzzle as well. And you're right, Kat, that the free enterprise system doesn't allow that to necessarily happen. And clearly, once government gets involved, everything kind of gets screwed up. And it's like,
yeah,
okay,
that's right.
Let's try a new model.
And I love that, again, the sentence in the Harvard Business Review that just grabbed me when I first read it was, collaborations between corporations and social entrepreneurs can
mm-hmm.
create and expand markets on a scale not seen since the Industrial Revolution. That is
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that we have no idea how big what we're doing is going to
mm-hmm.
be.
Yeah.
And
right.
that's, you know, that's the perspective that I love about it.
Yeah, it is huge. It is, and it's exciting to be a part of it. It's exciting to go out there and share it. It's exciting to open people's eyes to it. But you know, the importance for us, you know, all of us on the call today, and of course Sam and what they're doing in Branson, is to really help each and every person on your team to really understand it. And I know we're going to do a lot of work with drafting, you know, man of mails and things like that to really help people grab it, because listening to it and hearing about it, we all did that 3 years ago when Sam had the great vision and started converting the country and the Give for Real program. But I don't think we really took it on, and we didn't take it on as a cause. We didn't take it on as who we are, as an identity, and really run with it in a way that our hearts were really shifted in that direction as well. And I think that's the newness of it, is to really understand the transformation of Manatech, that this isn't just a small thing. This is a transformation of this company. It's a transformation of our commitment, in terms of our commitment is no longer in this network marketing model. Now our commitment is, you know, we really are focused. Our main focus is M5M, and that's what we're about. And it just happens that the cool, as Bo Short so neatly says, he goes, and the cool thing about it is the company rewards you and me for going out and sharing this. So,
hey,
yeah, people love that. Now, why don't we open it up? Why don't we just ask, is there anyone, we still have Sam's attention, anyone on the call who would like to come off mute and just ask Sam any questions out there that we have from the people, callers? I know we have over 100 people on the call, Sam, so there's a lot of people out there. They might. Any questions, any issues?
Yeah. Hey, Mary Jo and Sam and Dan and Ashland.
Oh, hi, Annie.
Thank you. God, this was wonderful, just marvelous. And I just emailed Mary Jo and Lydia about that first sentence from the Harvard Review article, which I have somewhere carefully put
I'll
away.
Get it to you. I'll get it to
just
you.
Think, well, Sam, I'm also thinking, I don't know if we can do that, but that is so powerful to have that somewhere in our literature also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can quote any article, sure.
I mean, when you read that, my hair just sort of, it didn't, you know, I was wonderful before and all that, but now given the reality of what we're doing, it is just beautiful.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks, your darling. We really appreciate all you do. Yeah.
I have a question right now, speaking of tribes, but this one happens to have fur.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, next. Thanks, Annie. All right.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bernadette from Canada. And Sam, you talk about in the United States about the nonprofit, and you know, people, they're able to sign up or whatever. What kind of a program do you have here in Canada for Canadians?
You know, we don't have a program yet in Canada. I'm working on that. You know, our legal group had some other priorities, like opening a few countries. But we just met last week, and now they're past that, so they're going to go back to work on that. I mean, I just think it's such a natural for us to include organizations because, number one, they share the heart and the passion for what we're doing. Number two, they all have a financial need. And so... I'm sorry that I can't report anything more on that other than it's a work in progress.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. This is Connie. Sam, you talked about the students in Guadalajara and how they were excited about the program. Is the Give for Real going to be opening soon in Mexico, or how's that going? Or what about those students? How's that left?
Well, they could sign up today and start doing the business. I think Bo gave them his card and said, I can put you in touch with somebody, but, you know, he'll probably send that to the group there in Mexico or something. But no, we're open in Mexico and everybody, is working the business and they're getting their wristbands and
cool.
You can do it in Mexico today.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Marion. Can you hear me?
Hi, Marion.
Hi. Well, Sam, I want to thank you especially for the videos that you did while you were down in Mexico and the one that Bo showed last Thursday night. I mean, that for me just is the tool that we have been waiting for. And since that time, I just have to reinforce, underline what you said about how you can talk to anybody. I mean, the meaningful conversations I have had since really seeing that your video in Mexico, somehow the thing of being with Muhammad Yunus, it just became more real in my heart, and like we really stepped fully into it for me. And I mean, it's just been so deeply satisfying. I really was at a place I couldn't talk to people almost anymore because everybody in my community, they eat organic. They know about the poor quality of food. They take supplements. It was like, I have to have another conversation, and this is the conversation that opens the door for everyone. I mean, it's been extraordinary. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Mary. And that was, it was great confirmation for me. I mean, I felt we were absolutely in the right place with the right model. But it was great to hear Muhammad Yunus. I mean, here's the guy who's been doing this for several decades say, no one has figured out how to create a global footprint. This is fascinating what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and I mean, people are just so interested. I mean, it's like such a fulfilling and easy conversation to have.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is Margaret from Canada?
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I am wondering, my team that was not at any of the Manic Quests, how can they get wristbands? Are they going to be sent out in to my existing teams or what?
Yeah, what will happen is, I don't actually know how the distribution is going to work. Mary Jo may know more about that. I know they're going to go in every pack. You know, that goes out. They got the first order in, but there was such a demand. Like, I went and opened the Ukraine a couple of weeks ago and made a presentation on Manitech and M5M. And, you know, we have this wonderful technology. We have this great business opportunity. We have all these wonderful things to talk about. But when I held up the wristband, it was like pandemonium. I don't know if people don't have wristbands over there or it's a new concept, but, man, people were like, they could not wait to get their wristband. So I think the first ones went out so fast, they had no idea that it would fly off the wall like that. So, you know, they're getting more ordered, and I don't know exactly how the distribution is going to happen. I know they're going to go in every pack so that
what I've heard on that was that they'll be in every single sign-up pack starting in September, and they will also be selling them. That because the first group that came out, many of you have them, they don't have as good a wear and tear value. In other words, Lydia's, even you can't even read the numbers on them anymore because it's worn so much. Mine still looks like it just came out of the package, so I don't know what that's all about. But they're making better quality is what I heard as well.
Oh, good.
And yeah, I know they're making.
And they'll be available at Branson, but they'll go in every single sign-up pack starting in September, and they'll be available for sale starting in September as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, will that be members also?
Every sign-up pack. Members too, Lydia? Consumers?
It just says
sign-up pack. The only thing it says is new sign-up packs. I would assume members will get them as well.
Yeah,
they don't get sign-up packs, but I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know that one. Sorry.
This is Marion. I was told all the packs, and they'll be sold in sets of five. You'll be able to buy five at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
This is Dan. I just want to back up what Mary Jo said about Tom's, too. In Chicago, when I said Tom's shoes, I got a quizzical look. But when I start to explain, oh, you mean Tom's. And I ran into that everywhere. I thought, oh, that's a Chicago thing. No, it must be everywhere.
No, it is. Thank you, Ann, because I was taken aback by it, too. I was going, oh, Tom's. But if you look at all their, you know, I went out and bought a pair of Tom's shoes because I thought, boy, I need to get one. And by the way, everybody, you can get, I bought one that's the University of Texas. It's orange and white because orange is our color. So I got the orange and white ones. Anyway, so I'm wearing orange and white Tom's shoes. And all their advertisement, their box, their bags, everything just has the word Tom's on it. So now I see why people don't pick up the word shoes. Like when you talk about Apple, you don't say Apple iPad or Apple computer. You say Apple, right? And that's the same thing that's happened with Tom's out there in the marketplace. So it's good to acknowledge that because you'll probably be understood more fully if you just use the word Tom's. So I'll make that suggestion to Bo as well in his language.
Hey, Sam, this is Troy Anderson.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I had a question on the – I know at the Seattle ManaQuest event you were – you know, there was a lot of discussion about the vertical markets and how that's going to tie in with Give for Real. Do you see the qualifying Give for Real products base broadening other than the, I think there's seven listed on Manatech's website? Is that going to, you know, in other words, is skincare going to be included in some of our sustainable fat loss and different things like that?
Yeah, I think we'll expand that. One of the things we were up against when we started this is the company was not in profit. We were in loss.
Right.
And so it was a major step for the company to give at whatever level. And I think it was appropriate when we started. We're feeding about 50,000 kids a day now, so it's good. But what I see, Troy, is an expansion to all products. And I think as the company starts, I mean, we're starting, you know, the last several quarters we've been making a profit. So
right.
We're starting to get back into a really good position economically again with the company you know, my hope is that the board will choose to continually expand the donation base so that more products, broader range, more contribution per product, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I think they'll be open to that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Troy.
Sam, this is Diane. The beautiful banners that you had in Chicago, how soon can we get those? How soon are those the M5M banners going to be made available, like you did with the Nutriveris, so we could take it to VistaPress?
Do you know that, Mary Jo? I'm not connected with that at all, so I don't know.
I don't. Are you talking about the floor banners that go up 6 feet from the floor?
Yes, the great big banners. So if we did if we went to a place that had either a meeting or to go any places as far as with other individuals that we would have a very significant banner, because the banners were beautiful. Absolutely.
Why don't I
gorgeous.
Do this? Let me find out from Manatech, and I'll send an email out on that one. How's that?
Because
I know
that'd be great.
We've duplicated the Nutriveris ones in the past and those kind
Correct.
Of things. We've got them out in the field, but nothing on the M5M exclusively. So I'll talk to Manatech on that. Okay, good.
Thank
I'll get
you.
Back to you. Mm-hmm.
Sam, this is Sue in St. Louis.
Hi, Sue.
Hey, did you hear 60 Minutes or did you watch 60 Minutes last night? They were honoring Bill Gates for the work he's doing. He's trying to get vaccines to millions of children. He's focused on children in this operation. And he wants to get the vaccines to them because they're suffering from so many diseases. And I was thinking as I was listening to that, but we're focusing on millions of children too. And maybe with our product, maybe vaccines won't even be necessary. And if they're honoring Bill Gates on 60 Minutes, they should be honoring you very soon.
Well, thanks for saying that. I agree with you, by the way. But, you know, that's...
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, guys, we got a lot of work in front of us to go
yeah.
before we start getting global recognition of any type. But, you know, it's interesting. When I was in Mexico, and they said, so what's the impact so far? 50,000. 50,000 kids a day is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
And that's just getting started. That's before we've even cranked this thing. So, but thanks, Sue, for your comments. And I think what we're doing is just as important as that, and maybe will impact more lives even. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyone else? Great. Now that we have Sam.
Hey, guys. This is John from Kenosha. How you doing?
Kenosha, John. Wisconsin.
Kenosha, Wisconsin, Mary Jo. I know it's your hometown.
My hometown.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to say first, Sam, thank you for, you know, what you've been doing over the last several years with this, because this is truly innovative. But to see a consistency in the process and in developing it is so exciting for those of us who have been around the company and seeing all the growth. I've been looking at an MBA program, and it's funny, there's MBA programs now with a focus on social entrepreneurship. And just having conversations with some of the folks, I'm looking at a school in Chicago right now to start the program, and they're interested in hearing what we're doing. Because this is a concept that's evolving in their curricula. It's something new for their students, and what an outstanding opportunity for us to have conversations with folks, either as they're graduating with bachelor's degrees in this or master's degrees in this, to show them what can be done and what the future is. And instead of focusing on, you know, 4 out of 5 people being at poverty level, this is an opportunity for people to get out of that, help those that they know that are in that level, and really start to change and impact. Then you take a look at what we're doing worldwide. This is such a amazing opportunity for people, and I can't thank you guys enough for all the work you've done.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things that also happened in Mexico is in sitting down with President Fox, you know, he brings about 100,000 children into the Fox Center in Mexico every year, teaching them the values of democracy, free enterprise. It's kind of like a boys' state or girls' state here in this country. They elect the president of the day and the cabinet members and representatives, and they take on problems and, you know, work through those as though they were in those positions. But he said, you know, one of the things that I would love to see is a curriculum on social enterprise. He said it's going to make such a big difference in people's lives that we've got to start training children in the very beginning. So, you know, he asked me to come back down. I'm going back down in 2 more weeks and work on that project for the Fox Center with them. And I would love to see us be the sponsor of a curriculum on social entrepreneurship that is teaching 100,000 children a year in Mexico the value of social enterprise. So, yeah, and you know, it's now becoming, it's the most sought-after curriculum in business schools in the world today, social entrepreneurship. And there's so much momentum behind it. I read one article that said we're just about to hit the tipping point, you know, where there's enough exposure that this thing is going to explode.
Well, and it's been a great opportunity also to connect with high schools. And
yeah, there, exactly.
I've received a couple of invitations here in Wisconsin to talk to some graduating classes and some folks that are starting to get ready to take that next step. And the principals
right.
are excited about this. So, it's just a great opportunity.
Yeah, Sam, Rick Deneff.
Hey, Rick.
Is there any chance we'll see any internet streaming from Branson?
I don't have any idea. I'm the most technically, you know, uninclined person in the world. Mary Jo, you might find that out.
You know what? I haven't heard. We're very internet. I mean, we're very technology oriented. Not me, Sam. I'm in your category, but I have Lydia.
Yeah.
So I will find out for you, and I'll add that to the email I sent out about the M5M floor banners. How's that? I will find out.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Anyone else? Okay, people, thanks for being on the call tonight. Thank you very much, Sam, for being with us today. It's just been a blessing, as always. You always have such great things to share, and I feel the same way about what Muhammad Yunus said to you. I say congratulations, Sam, because you have the vision and you've come out with the ideas. You truly are well deserving of a Nobel Peace Prize in my book as well. And we need, as a group of associates, to step up and create this and make this happen. And I just hope each and every one of us can take this to heart and shift in the direction that allows us to be more open and ready to share and to get as many people actively involved in this incredible mission as we possibly can, so that we truly can help support you in your dream coming true, but also seeing you, as Sue said, on 60 Minutes and perhaps walking across stage with Muhammad Yunus on an international level in many instances, so that this really takes off like we all know it has the possibility of doing. So we thank you again very much, Sam, for all you do for all of us in the field, and we will put our best foot forward in making this happen and making this a reality. And hopefully one last pitch from Sam as well. I know we all want to see as many people as possible in Branson, and because that's really going to be, to me, I think, Sam, you would agree that it's, as I tell people, it's going to be the most impactful event in terms of what's happened in Manitech since the day Manitech, probably I'll say when Ambertoast came out, maybe, because that was pretty impactful back then. But I wasn't
right.
around because I came in a little later. But post the Ambertoast discovery and all that, I would put this, what do you think, Sam? Second most important? I don't know. It ranks up there.
Listen, we want everybody there because, number one, bring all the people that you possibly can, because this will be a catalyst for your business, number one. And number two, it's just, you got to be a part of stuff like that. You can watch it on the internet, but and being there, there's nothing like it.
Yep, you bet. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Sam. Thanks. Yep,
okay,
do we have one more?
You. Bless you guys.
Oh, yes, it's Jackie Bull event. I just wanted to thank Sam as well for everything. It's just absolutely fabulous, the new direction that the company is taking, and we're really looking forward to Branson as well. And Mary Jo, I wanted to ask, when you sent out that email, would you attach a copy of your new business card? Would you mind?
Oh, sure. No, I have no problem with that. Front and back? I'll show front and back of my new business card. Okay,
that
absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
thank you so
uh-huh.
much.
Yep,
thanks,
yep, yep.
Sam.
Okay, thanks, Jackie. Bless you guys.
All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Sam, again, and thank all of you guys for being so diligent, being on our Monday call. We love you, and have a great week. Don't forget, last week of Business Period 8, let's really kick this thing off and make it happen this weekend, and make sure that we're all on track with getting to Branson, those of you can, but finish off this business period with a bang. I'm sure Manitech would be happy to see that from all of us as well, but I'm sure a lot of children are out there waiting to make that happen for them as well. And we know every time we sign somebody up, boy, it's helping to save another child. So, all right, love you guys. Talk to you next week.